Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men,
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone, rest your cause.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Edwin.
I cannot tell you how excited I am today.
Well, I mean, you've already got your hands up. So.
I know. It's amazing. It's incredible. If only they had the video, which we're not ever going to have. But Laodicea, my favorite letter. I love to talk about Laodicea.
That's great.
So I'm excited to talk about Laodicea.
All right.
It's not a good letter, though.
Nope.
The bride in Laodicea is not doing well.
Not doing well, like most of these we've been reading about,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, let's just get into it. I know we got a lot of good things to talk about. So I've got the Legacy Standard Bible here. I'm going to be reading about the church at Laodicea. Our reading today is Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Revelation 3, verse 14 to 22. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "This is what the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing,' and you do not know that you are wretched and pitiable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be manifested, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Final letter to this final manifestation of the bride of Jesus Christ, this church in Laodicea that is lukewarm. I struggle, I have to tell you, as we go through all seven churches, remembering, wait, which one did this? I remember Laodicea because it's lukewarm, and that's the alliteration, so that's
right.
Easy. I remember,
yeah.
Ephesus left their first love because that's the first letter.
First
so that,
church in the list.
But then when it comes to all the others, I'm like, wait, which one was the one that was perfect, and which one was the one?
Right.
I struggle, especially when we go to Smyrna and Sardis, because like they're both beginning
the S
with
ones.
S's, and you taught me something last week with Smyrna about the name coming from myrrh and it meaning the crushing and how that ties with the testing.
Yeah.
So helpful. But Laodicea, I remember that one.
Well, I tell you why I remember that is because, you know, early on, you and I hadn't known each other a real long time,
uh-huh.
But you came in and did a talk for us at a church in Tennessee where I was preaching on the church of Laodicea.
Right.
And it was one of my favorite sermons of yours that I've ever heard. And I would
still
say that all these years later. It's a really good talk on Laodicea. So I know you have some great things to share with the listeners today.
I love to talk about Laodicea, and namely because for the longest time, I just, as I was reading it, I read this exactly the way I've always heard others talk about it. And I get it. It seems natural to talk about it this way, as it talks about, you know, you're neither hot nor
cold.
So I'll spew you out of my mouth. You're
lukewarm.
Lukewarm.
And, it's like, yeah, just, you know, the coffee's been sitting out or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Ugh.
I know. And because we do all of a week all in one recording, usually by the time we're done with a week's recording, the coffee's gotten lukewarm.
We have to have the go juice. It's a bottle of water and a cup of coffee, and I try to space it out so by the time we're done recording, you know, they're empty.
But that last sip is usually a little lukewarm.
It's not
like,
as
I
good as the
chug
first
it down.
One. That's right.
But this gets to what the real issue here is. A lot of times, you know, what I've thought in the past and what I've heard is that, oh, well, being hot means being on fire for the Lord, and being cold means being totally turned off to the Lord, and lukewarm is just kind of halfway there, you know?
Yeah,
and
it's like a message about zeal, I guess, and Jesus wants you hot.
He
wants you zealous.
Right. Except for, you know, what people will then turn around and say is, well, sure, he wants us zealous, and he's going to even mention zeal here in a second. And so, yeah, he would prefer us to be hot, but you know what? He'd rather you be completely turned off than to just be kind of lukewarm.
Like going through the motions.
Yeah, but I think that this is actually a different picture. In fact, it's a I don't know if it's a more subtle picture, but it is a really more shocking picture.
Okay.
okay, we were talking about our own drinks here. We have our bottles of water, we have our cups of coffee, and we talk about how as we've recorded a week's worth of conversations all in one setting, the coffee went from piping hot to now kind of lukewarm.
Yeah.
Or we might have a cold bottle of water and it's gone from being cold to being
room
lukewarm.
Temperature.
Now, I know, and yes, we'll throw this out because you'll hear this in all the sermons and read in all the commentaries. I know there was a city up the road that had hot springs and there's a city somewhere that had cold springs. And by the time it gets to Laodicea, it's kind of lukewarm and tepid. And so I get that there's that background of the geography that helps set up this picture. But I want us to think about this. What is it that makes one of these hot drinks lukewarm or a cold drink lukewarm? What is it that's just causing that? Just scientifically or naturally, however you want to say it. What causes that?
Well, it's got to be a different temperature from its environment, from the temperature around it.
Right. And what happens is that the temperature around it starts impacting it until it equalizes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going on. He's not saying, I'd like you to be really on fire for me or just really hate my guts. Rather than just being halfway there, what he's saying is, I want you to be distinct. I want you to be distinct because when you're distinct, you're useful. A cold drink is refreshing on a hot day. A hot drink is comforting on a cold day. But a lukewarm drink doesn't do either one of those things. I'm already lukewarm. I'm already room temperature. Of course, this is one of my favorite things. I remember my youngest daughter one time, I was talking about being room temperature. And she said, yeah, but what if the room's really cold? So, okay. But normally when we think room temperature, we are talking this kind of lukewarm,
Equalizing.
Equalizing. But what's going on? The surroundings, the environment is impacting.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on at Laodicea. The problem at Laodicea is not, we like Jesus a little bit, but not, we're not going to be on fire. The problem is the world, the city of Laodicea has been impacting the church of Laodicea.
Yeah.
And this is the major problem.
Well, and in what ways are they looking like the world around them? It's even in their own estimation. How do they see themselves? They see themselves as rich, and they see themselves as wealthy, and they see themselves as sufficient, just like the world around them.
Yeah.
Everything's going great. And that underscores you ought to be different. Why are you rich and wealthy and all is good with the world when all these churches and all these other towns are getting persecuted?
Yeah.
And you're thinking, well, I must be the one that's doing it right.
Yeah.
And the Lord is coming to say, you're the one that's doing it wrong. You're just like the world around you.
You have been too influenced by your own community. And even the specific things he says, we don't have time to get into all of them, but the statements about the wool, they had some special wool that they would
that's
use
right.
there that was the black wool. They were known for their eye salve. Even these illustrations that Jesus used said, you guys are getting too much of this from Laodicea. You're not getting it from me. You're getting too much of it from your city. You're not getting it from me. Which, by the way, takes us to the end of the book. At the end of the book, remember, we have the bride who is the city of God.
Right.
But that is contrasted at the end of the book with the prostitute, the immoral woman, the harlot, who is the enemy city of God. And what the church in Laodicea is supposed to be is the bride, the pure city of God with the strong walls and the strong foundations. That's what Laodicea is supposed to be, but they're actually becoming too much like the enemy city.
Yeah.
And the city of Laodicea, the city that around them, is the enemy city for them.
So while apathy may be an aspect of what's going on here,
sure,
it's not the main thing.
No.
The main thing is that they're compromised.
Yes. Who's doing the influencing? Who's standing out? The church is not standing out. The church in Laodicea is not standing out as different from the city and the community around them. Even when we go to look at that prostitute in Revelation chapter 17, the way she's described is as rich and clothed in purple and scarlet. She's prospered. She seems like she doesn't need anything.
Yeah.
And the whole world loves her. The whole world loves her and is going to her to get riches from her. And this, what Jesus is pointing out is, look, bride, you've become too much like the prostitute. You're no longer the pure bride. You're no longer the strong city. You have become Babylon. You have become the city around you. You've got to repent. You need to turn around. And what you need to do, and this I think is the really, really big thing. He says, you guys think you need nothing. I'm telling you what you need is me.
Yeah.
That's Jesus saying that.
Need all of it.
You need Jesus and you need what Jesus has to give. So look, quit going to Laodicea to buy your wool. Quit going to Laodicea to get your eye salve. Quit going to Laodicea. And this all metaphorically, okay, if people had eye problems, they were allowed to go to the doctor and get their eye salve. I get it. But metaphorically, quit going to your city to get this stuff. Go to Jesus to have your strength. Go to Jesus to have your meaning. Go to Jesus to have your fulfillment. Go to Jesus to figure out how it is that you're supposed to be living. And then you'll be distinct. You'll be like the hot drink on a cold day or the cold drink on a hot day. You'll be distinct. You'll be influential. You'll be useful to the King.
And the Lord really does want them to repent. What's striking to me is this image at the end. I stand at the door and knock. I've heard that verse taken and used so many ways, and oftentimes it's about a person's response to the gospel and whether or not they're going to let Jesus come in to their heart. But in this context, it really is about he's on the outside of a church.
Yeah.
Why would he be out there?
Yeah.
He needs to be in the church. This is a great call to repentance, to set things in a right order. But I think also you have this sense of this coming groom. You know, he warned the last church that we talked about that he was going to be coming quickly, and they would not know the hour. He's going to be coming like a thief in the night. Well, actually, to Sardis, he said that. And here is, again, this imminence. I'm at the door, and I'm knocking. It is the invitation to repent. He wants to come in. He wants to dine. But I think there's also the urgency. Don't put this repentance off. I'm here right now.
I like that. Don't put it off. One of the things that I have tried to stress with people over the last few years is it'll never be easier than today to repent. Mm-hmm. Be zealous and repent.
Yeah.
And so now we have zeal. Now we've got the zeal as opposed to the apathy. Don't be apathetic about this. Mm-hmm. Don't be indifferent about this. I'm telling you, this is a really, really big deal, Laodicea. You are in trouble and you don't know it. Here's a similarity between them and Sardis. Sardis had a name. Mm-hmm. So everybody else thought Sardis was great. Laodicea is kind of like that. I don't know what all the other churches thought of Laodicea, but Laodicea thought Laodicea was great.
That's exactly he's like, right.
Yeah, he's like, no, you're not. You're really not. You're poor, wretched, pitiable, blind, and naked. And what do you need? You need Jesus. Mm-hmm. Here is a church that is claiming to be of Christ, but has no Christ. Yeah. There's no Christ in this church. And this church needs Jesus. So what we find is it is possible to be a church that does things. Mm-hmm. It's possible to be a church that is wealthy,
comfortable,
and not have any Jesus inside.
And at peace.
Oh, yeah. At peace with the world around them. At peace with the city. This is,
and not have Jesus.
You know, the problem is you have been too impacted. And so here is the bride having become like the prostitute. Mm-hmm. This is what's going on at Laodicea. She's been hanging out with the prostitute, and now she's starting to talk like the prostitute and dress like the prostitute and act like the prostitute. And because she is receiving what seems to her to be blessings, she thinks she's okay, and she is not.
Yeah.
This is a dire warning for us to make sure that we are being thoroughly, brutally honest with ourselves as we compare ourselves as individuals and our congregations to what we really see in the New Testament, because we do not want to be Laodicea.
You know, that's a lot for us to take to our heart and to think about in our lives and for our congregations. And Edwin, why don't you lead us in a prayer about that?
Holy God, please forgive us. Forgive us because too often we become like the world around us. It is so easy to do. We grow up in these communities and in these cultures. We're like seeds planted in the ground of this world, and it's just so easy to grow up in that soil and let that soil be what influences us. We grow up swimming in these waters and breathing in this air, and it's just so easy to become blinded. Help us, Father. Remove the logs from our eyes. Help us, Father, to see clearly, to see as you see. We're so thankful for this apocalypse, this revealing, this unveiling that allows us to see from your perspective. And may we see ourselves from your perspective. May we see these letters that you wrote to these early churches and where we are in these, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let us see it all. Let us see us clearly so that where we need to repent, we will repent. But we ask for your strength because our strength is small. We want to use our strength to bring glory to you. We want to stand out and be different. And we ask that you would help us to do that from this day forth going on, that we will be the influencers and influencers for you, influencers that lead people to you in how we dress and how we speak and how we act and how we behave and how we interact with one another, how we interact with folks in the world, that we will be the ones who are influential and standing out and distinct. Help us, God, not to be like Laodicea. Help us to overcome and bring glory to you. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida, this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at ChristiansMeetHere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.